Am on. Okay, there we go. Glory, glory. So we are back in town. We missed everybody. We had a great trip. We got filled up on the word. We got to see family. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. We did miss you guys. We missed home, so we're glad to be back. So we're going to get into the word tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to read a scripture together as a church, and then I'm going to pray. So can we just, let's get our Bibles out. Let's go to Psalms 23, and I'm going to be in the King James Version. But we're going to say this as a church. This is a very familiar part of scripture, and we're going to say it together. I think that will be good. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lay down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and yes, Lord, that all scripture, hallelujah, glory to God. Thank you, Father God, for your scripture, that it is alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, that it can even divide between the marrow and the bone, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that as we receive this word by faith, that we will apply it to our life. Holy Spirit, as I open my mouth, it says in your word, as I open my mouth, you will fill it. That it's not coming from me, but Lord, it's coming from the throne room of heaven. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. A couple of things that I wanted to point out in Psalms 23 was verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Through the valley. We don't stay in the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. We walk through it. And we will fear no evil, amen. Glory to God. We don't have to, when we're going through a hard place, we don't have to fear, because Jesus took that. We don't have to fear. We can rebuke fear. It's the enemy, amen. We do not fear. And though I walk through, we're walking through it. We're not getting stuck in it, and we don't have to fear when we're walking through it. But then also, we're going to stay basically on verse 5. We're going to go to some different things, but we're going to refer back to Psalms 23 throughout the night. That thou preparest a table. Can everybody say a table? Glory to God. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Can everybody say overflow? Let's turn to Isaiah 10:27. Thou anointest my head with oil. Isaiah 10:27. And it shall come to pass in that day. Can everybody say that day? That day. That means this day. We are living that day. Amen. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away off thy shoulder, and his yoke from thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. Thou anointest my head with oil. Is referencing the anointing. It's referencing the anointing. Hallelujah. Thou preparest a table. So tonight I'm going to start talking about the table. We're going to be coming up on Thanksgiving pretty soon. But as I'm thinking about this, we kind of all relate to the table. Everybody's around the dinner table. the table that has maybe dishes and bowls on top of the table, and it's prepared nicely, and everybody can smell the food, and everybody's getting hungry, and everybody's getting excited about going to the table. Well, God has set a table for us. Amen. He has set it. He has prepared. God has prepared. Taken special attention to. Amen. Has gone out of his way to get some things, to make it look pretty, to get the right food, to get the right spices, to do all the things that it is that we do to prepare a table. Glory to God, he has prepared a table. Amen. So there's a couple little things that, some different things throughout Scripture where it talks about a table. But this one tonight, and I might get on the other two, but tonight I want to start with this one. Let's go to 2 Samuel 9. Let's start in 2 Samuel 9:11. And you can just stay right in the King James Version. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. He shall eat at my table. There was something special about the table. There's something special to King David and to God our Father about the table. Amen. So he brings up this character named Mephibosheth. Actually, not a character, is a real person. Amen. I don't like it when people start talking about the Bible like in stories and characters and things, because we always think movies or not real or something like that, because we live in this world that has a lot of things coming to us with movies and film and TV and things like that. And in our head, we assimilate that to not real. It didn't really happen. How many knows this is real? This really did happen, and it's for us. Amen? So Mephibosheth, we kind of got introduced to him in this first scripture, but sometimes we might not know about Mephibosheth. So let's go back to 2 Samuel 4, 1 through 12. Actually, we're going to start at verse 4. All right, glory to God. Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came to Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. So there's a certain situation happening. The king Saul has just then been killed, and his son Jonathan had been killed. Now that was sweeping through the land pretty fast. Back then, the culture was that the old king's family and family line would be destroyed, would be killed. In her head, that's what she thought. A thought. It always starts with a thought. Whatever Satan wants to try to destroy in your life is always going to start with a thought. But she obviously didn't know King David. That was the culture for maybe people to go and kill out the old king's line, but that wasn't David's character. She didn't know David's character. So the thought turned into fear. And she picked up the 5-year-old boy, and he fell and became lame. For us, our character needs to be stronger than our culture, needs to be stronger than the pressure that is around us, trying to get us to do this, trying to make us do this this decision or whatnot. We need to know on the inside of us not to be led by fear, because there's two leadings, right? There's the leading of the Holy Spirit, and there's fear. Our character needs to be strong enough than the culture. It's interesting because what happened, if you read the verses after that, actually let's go down to verse 9, and this actually proves out that this was not David's idea to go kill Saul's family. So we have 2 Samuel 4:9. But David answered Rechab and Binah, his brother, the sons of Rimmon, the Berothite, and said to them, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all adversary?" Then someone told me, saying, "Look, Saul is dead," thinking to have brought good news. This is David. They were thinking, now these men, if you read verse 5 through 8, these men went out and tried to wipe out Saul's line. Not under David's command. But Saul had created a lot of enemies. And these people throughout, there's a battle that went on. I actually did a little bit of research, but it's kind of lengthy. But there was some things that went on between these people right here that it listed and Saul. They didn't like Saul. That's why they were killing out his line. Not because David had told them to kill out Saul's line. So it says, when someone told me, saying, "Look, Saul is dead," thinking to have brought good news, I arrested him and had him executed in Ziklag. The one who thought I would give him a reward for this news. So David started condemning that behavior. How much more than wicked men have killed a righteous person in his own house on his bed? Therefore, shall I not require his blood at your hand and remove you from the earth? So David commanded this young man, and they executed him. So it went through some different things here, but I just wanted to prove out this was not David telling people to go out and kill Saul's line. That is not David's character. That was the culture, and that's what this nurse thought, and that's why she got up and fled in fear. And that's why Mephibosheth fell. Because it started with a thought, went into fear. So that's Mephibosheth. Let's go down to 2 Samuel 9:1. Fear followed him the rest of his life. You have to think about it. Well, we'll read a little bit of scripture and then we'll go into this more. Now David said, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" For Jonathan's sake. There was a covenant that was cut between David and Jonathan. Verse 2, "And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, 'Are you Ziba?' He said, 'At your service.' Then the king said," I might be reading a New King James Version. I'm reading a New King James Version on this part, sorry. "Then the king said, 'Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?'" Now, is this the same Saul that tried to kill David? That David had to live in caves and hide out and do all kinds of crazy stuff. And these men that he had fighting with him, he had to try to find food for them. And all of this happening. And David would show Saul kindness and mercy. And then Saul would try to kill him again. This is that Saul. "And Ziba said to the king, 'There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet.' So the king said to him, 'Where is he?'" And I love that, because he's seeking him out. He's seeking him out. "And Ziba said to the king, 'Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. In verse 5, then King David sent and brought him out. Glory to God. Those three words right there, hallelujah, brought him out. How many of us have been brought out? Hallelujah, we have been brought out. Glory to God. It's interesting, we can kind of think how much fear he had in his life. How he had maybe even been, obviously he wasn't with the nurse that fell at the very beginning. So he wasn't in that household anymore. So was he passed from household to household because he was a burden on somebody, because he couldn't work, he was lame in his feet, someone had to take care of him? Back then, those days, that was a big deal. That was a big deal kind of stuff. So he was passed along. In one day, he lost his grandfather and his father. If we think about it like that, that's what happened. He lost his grandfather and his father. And if you also think about, at this point, he's 5 years old. So maybe he's even thinking about, maybe he's met David. Maybe he even thinks about, because Jonathan and David were close. So maybe he even knew David as Uncle David. You know how we do that. There's a best friend. There's somebody that, you know, your kids are like, oh, Uncle David, you know, just to show respect and something. It's not really the uncle, but maybe that was the case. Maybe Mephibosheth this whole time had thought that this person that at some point he loved has now killed his father and his grandfather in one day. And now took out every single thing that he was supposed to have, was going to have, all of the dreams, all of the promises. And now he's in fear for his life, kind of an enemy of the state, he's thinking. He's hiding out. And now he's being brought out to the same man that he thinks killed his grandfather and his father and annihilated his family. Can you imagine what he's going through when he is on that journey? I don't know how far it is from one place to another. I didn't look it up. But can you imagine what that journey would look like when Ziba comes over and knocks on the door, says, King David wants to meet with you? Yeah. Think about that fear factor of what was happening to him in that journey to the palace. Hallelujah. Also, it said he was living in Lodabar, and I did look up some things about Lodabar. Lodabar is a town only mentioned a few times in scriptures. If it is, as many scholars assume, the same town as Debar, mentioned several times in the book of Joshua, we find that it was one of the cities of Canaan that Joshua destroyed. Debar actually means pasture or sheepfold, but at somewhere in history it was changed to the opposite, Lodabar. That means no word, because Debar means word or thing or pasture or sheepfold. It means no word. That means no communication. No thing. No pastures. And what did we just read in Psalms 23? He makes me lay down in green pastures. So he is not in the covenant place at this point. This is the opposite of where he needs to be. Maybe he thinks he's worth nothing because he's living in a place that is literally called nothing. And that's where he is hiding. No communication, no pastures. But guess what? There's a bloodline of a king hiding there. Glory to God. Let's go down to verse 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth. He called him by name. Glory to God. And he answered, "Here is your servant." So David said to him, "Do not fear." That is very important right here, because when he fell and prostrated himself before David, that was not in honor. That was actually in fear for his life. And sometimes we don't pick up on those things in Scripture, but knowing a little bit of this backstory and knowing how much things that he had to deal with fear and being tossed to and fro and living in a place that wasn't his, and he didn't even have his own household. And David said to him, "Do not fear." Glory to God. "For I will surely," hallelujah, can we say surely? "Surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." At my table continually. Doesn't that sound like Father God saying, "Do not fear. I'm a good God. I called you out by name." Amen? "And you will eat at my table continually." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Then he bowed himself and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?" That reveals a lot of what he perceived of himself, what he saw himself as. Instead of seeing himself as royalty, he was seeing himself as a dead dog. How many years? Why wasn't there anybody in his life that was there saying positive things or uplifting things? No, it was probably people around him saying, "You know, you can't show your face because of King David. You can't go out that way because of this or that, or you're a wanted man, or you're lame and you need to just be a beggar, or, you know, all of these things, or, you know, no one loves you because you've been tossed to and fro from house to house all your life." Can you imagine that? Some of us have lived that. And glory to God, we have a good Father, amen, that has called us out by name and has prepared a table before us. Thank you, Jesus. And now we are renewing our minds, glory to God, into the things that God has set in his word, that we know where our authority is. We know who we are in Christ Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go down to verse 9. "And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, 'I have given to your master's son all that belongs to Saul and to all his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him.'" Hallelujah. "And you shall bring in the harvest." I love that. Bring in the harvest. "That your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table." At my table. There it is again. There was something important to David about bringing that, having that covenant person, having the character to go after what he said a long time ago, to actually fulfill those words that he said to Jonathan. And that covenant that was spoken out. "My master's son shall eat bread at my table always." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And Ziba said to the king, "According to all that the Lord, the king, has commanded his servants, so will your servant do." "As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons." Hallelujah. Is that what we're doing? Are we eating at the king's table like one of the king's sons? Hallelujah. Maybe he was sitting right next to Solomon. You have to think about, this is his children around the table. Amen. All of a sudden, David's making way for another chair next to one of his sons. This is Mephibosheth, everybody. So he's waving. He's going to be eating at our table continually from now on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Mephibosheth dwelt in, King's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who dwelt in his house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem. He ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both of his feet. So the thing that he thought was maybe going to hold him back wasn't going to hold him back, because God had provision for that. Amen? And glory to God that we are part of a new covenant, a better covenant with better promises. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we know our stance on healing. We can ask God, well, God, you got me this, this, and this, and restored everything. Restore my feet too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's where we are in the New Testament, the new covenant as the church. Hallelujah. We have a promise. We have a covenant. Amen. He calls us kings and priests. And we are coming out of those low places. Glory to God. Out from underneath the lies and the fear. Amen. That have been told to us. Because we know the truth. God's truth, amen. And we're going to sit at that table of provision, of healing, of peace, promotion, restoration. Hallelujah. If we could just imagine those things that God has for us. That's why we're excited about, Brother Clinton was up here excited for next year already. We're excited for next year too, because the wonderful things that God's going to do. We're excited every day. Every day when we get up, we're excited about the things that God has for us. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to look at a couple more things with being at the table. So we see how this table has restoration at it. Amen. There's somebody else that has a table in the scripture here, but it didn't turn out as well. Let's go to Luke 16:20. Someone that didn't take a seat at the table. Had a seat ready, but didn't take a seat at the table. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. I'm not going to go into the whole story. This man that was named Lazarus was a covenant man. Needed to know, probably read the scripture, Psalms 23, before. He probably knew these words, just like we're reading it tonight. He probably read that. Same words. And he had a choice, just like we have a choice. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And there he is, a covenant man. Supposed to be at the rich man's table. Supposed to be the rich man that has a table. Can I say it like that? Supposed to be at that place. And somehow, we find him at this gate full of sores, begging, desiring. He's desiring, his desire is not to step into a covenant place where he needs to be. His desire, that's what he's desiring in his heart. That's what he's thinking about. What is desire? You're thinking about it. You're wanting it. To be fed the crumbs. His desire should have been calling on that covenant that he has with God Almighty. Desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Now he got to heaven, amen. Glory to God. The rich man did not. If you read a little further in the story, so that is good. So thank you, God, that we can get to heaven. But we know there is so much more for us. Glory to God. There's so much more. And we have a seat at the table. Amen. Glory to God. There's one more here. Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay. The verse is 21, but I didn't write down where it's located. I think it's Matthew. I'll read the story, and you guys let me know, Bible scholars out there. Verse 21 of, I'm not sure, the book. Then, or the chapter. All right, then Jesus went out there and departed to a region of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That was Jesus' ministry was for Israel. He's not trying to be rude. That was what his ministry was for. Then she came and worshiped him. Hallelujah. She's already called him his covenant name. Hallelujah, Son of David. She's calling on that covenant. Glory to God. Matthew 15? Yeah, Matthew 15, 21. She's calling on that covenant. And then she worships him. Verse 25 says, then she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Now it's interesting to think of if we can put a little twist on this, kind of comparing Lazarus wanting a crumb from the table, but his faith was in that crumb to barely get him by and not in the covenant at all. Now you see a woman stand up for her child is vexed with a demon, and she's standing up, and even though she was almost felt like this rejection, she pushed through that, and she thinks the crumbs from the table she's thinking that as faith. She's thinking, only a little crumb. If I had a little crumb from your table, hallelujah, that's all I need. Glory to God. We only need our faith as a mustard seed. You know, that's kind of that same idea there. That's how she's looking at the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Two different ideas. Two different tables. Yes, crumbs are falling, but the mindset of the first person compared to this person, we can see where their covenant is. We can see where their faith is. We can see where their perseverance is. "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." She knew if she only got a little crumb, her daughter would be healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's healing at that table. Amen. There's deliverance at that table. Glory to God. And Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." There's that word desire again. You can see what she desired. She wanted something more. She could see that crumb as that more, that she only needed that crumb for her daughter to be healed. There's that desire. "Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, go ahead. Got it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
We just saw it, obviously, in Luke, where it said the beggar desired the crumbs, right? And then right here, it says verse 27, and she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." So she's saying, look, I know I'm not a covenant person, and I know there are covenant people that don't want it.
Yeah, hallelujah.
And what they don't want, I'll take.
Thank you, Jesus.
What they don't desire, I'll receive it.
Thank you, Jesus.
And she got exactly that.
Yeah.
It's exactly Amen. What she got. Because, see, the covenant guy didn't want it.
Yeah.
He just wanted the crumbs. Mm. That was it. I just want to do this, and that's about as far as I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Because mm-hmm. we have people, we either have family people, members like that, or we have friends like that. They'll go pretty far with you, but sometimes they just, okay, this is far enough. I just want to mm-hmm. stay here for the rest of my life. They don't want to push.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
They don't want to
Amen.
Dig in the word and grow with it. Amen.
Yeah.
They get to a spot where they're complacent, where mm-hmm. they're safe, where they're living comfortable now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the beginning it was rough. You know, we was barely scraping by, but now that we're living good, let's just relax.
Mm.
Yeah. Amen.
Not
and that'll do you more harm than it will good.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
But yet it's interesting that she said, but even the crumbs that your covenant people don't want,
mm-hmm.
that they're throwing off this table, that they're mm-hmm. not desiring, that they don't even want, I'll take it.
Lord,
I know I'm
God,
not a covenant
you,
person,
Jesus.
But I'll take it.
Yes.
And that's the way we need to be.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, if people don't want their healing, if people don't want to live in victory, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
I will.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And I don't have a problem with it. Amen.
Yeah.
Whatever people don't desire or want, mm-hmm. hallelujah, we'll receive
yes,
it.
Yes, amen.
Keep
we
forward.
Will receive it. Yes.
Amen. Because she did.
Mm-hmm.
And God looked her, first off, he talked about her right to her face.
Yeah.
I can't believe Jesus would do that. I don't know who he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting that, mm-hmm. that oh, it's almost like he was just kind of proving her out
mm-hmm.
to see where her faith was.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. How many
mm-hmm.
times have we been proved out?
And
either got offended about something,
mm.
got mad about something, this ain't going to work. Amen.
Yeah.
We've all been there. Well, I've been there. I'll talk about myself. I know me. Amen. I've been there. Amen. But obviously, we're learning and moving
yes,
forward.
Yes, we are.
Amen. But
Hallelujah.
Yet she saw the crumbs, desired it, and Jesus said, you know what? You can have whatever they don't want.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Your kid needs it, take it.
Yes.
And then he said, great.
Great.
He didn't say small.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say little, and he didn't say no faith.
Yeah.
He said, great.
Great.
Is your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Get everything yes. that you need. Go for it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can we say, I will take
everything that Jesus
has for me.
I will take
everything that Jesus
has for me.
I will take
everything
that Jesus
has for me.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Yes, Lord, we will take it. We will take those things. Hallelujah. We will take your healing. We will take your provision. We will be seated at your table. That when you call us out by name, hallelujah, that we throw those old things aside, that we put fear aside in the name of Jesus, and we go to your table boldly, just like this woman did up to Jesus. Hallelujah. And we will receive those things. We will take those things that you have done for us, that we do not take it lightly. Everything that you did on the cross, the blood that was shed, your body that was torn up for us, that we take it. Other people might not honor it the way that it needs to be honored, or belittles those things that you have done to have our be able to be in covenant with you, Lord. But Father God, I thank you, Jesus, that we will see those things as precious, and we will honor those things, and we will go after those things, and we will desire those things, Father God, that our desire will be on those things of the Lord. Thank you, and everything that you have promised us, that we're not going to back down. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for us. As we're praying and as our heads are bowed, if you do not know Jesus